For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Felicia Eady. It's almost been 6 months since the 1,000-year flood changed life for so many in South Carolina. I talked with two farmers separated by over 100 miles about how the rare flood is causing a string of common problems for farmers across the state. Walking from one greenhouse shed to the next at his farm in downtown Columbia, Eric McClam seems to blossom just as brightly as the small green plants he hopes will make a big impact on his bottom line.
So what you see in front of you are microgreens. They're first growth out of the seed before they get their true leaf. They're about 3 to 4 times as more nutritional than the fully grown product itself, because all that nutrition is stored in the little seed. So we've got some kale, mustard.
McClam is co-owner and manager of City Roots, South Carolina's first urban farm. The farm's original site sits on 3 acres in the Rosewood community, but it's McClam's second site, 5 acres sitting right next to the Congaree River, that suffered major loss during the flood.
We had a lot of different types of crops in the ground, several different types of root crops, so carrots, beets, radishes, and turnips. We also had some leafy greens like arugula and spinach. Baby lettuce and head lettuce, and then some kale and some Asian greens that basically sat in 20 inches of water for way too long.
McClam says City Roots has always been a diverse farm with multiple streams of revenue, including agritourism. But now with so many crops ruined, he's had to do some things differently. Those tiny microgreens are now taking a larger role in the recovery process for the entire operation.
We focus a little bit more of our energy on our greenhouse production, on our microgreens, or in high tunnels that are unheated greenhouses here, where we can control the environment a little bit more. We can control the amount of water and temperature and things like that, and focusing on those areas that we can control a little bit better. We diversified our crops and also the revenue streams that we're doing.
The architect turned farmer is also designing a new way he plants his crops.
We were previously planting on flat ground. We have now switched our operation to make raised beds. So we raise everything up almost a foot off the ground in a raised mounded bed. Basically, if there's any flooding or any heavy rains, our crops aren't sitting directly in that water. We were diversified enough that it didn't close the doors for us yet. Hurt financially a lot, but the diversification of our farm helped.
I spoke with Greg Johnsman, owner of Geechee Boy Farm in Edisto Island, 125 miles from Columbia. Johnsman grows a variety of heirloom vegetables and specialty crops. He says he lost the majority of his fall harvest.
We lost probably a third of our corn crop just to that alone, because we couldn't adequately take care of our crop properly, till it, disc it, work it, spray it. But then you take other crops like Sea Island red peas, and heirloom we grow. We harvested almost nothing this year.
And what did manage to grow, Johnsman said, was not suitable for market. Here's how he describes his lot of carrots.
A carrot wouldn't properly grow. It had no length. They look like little misformed nodulars, just like a little beet. I mean, these are huge effects. You can't sell it. The crop might grow, but they're not to an industry standard where you can use any of it.
Recovery for Johnsman and his family includes planting cover crops to help replenish nutrients in the soil and letting badly damaged lands rest. He says making the sacrifice is the best recovery option for his family.
Just depends on how much green matter and what we can get back in the soil. It's hard to put a crop behind a crop. If you can let it rest, we're seeing a lot better results.
For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Felicia Eady.